Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
When you're going into labor, the last thing you want is to think about is how long the drive to the hospital will take. But if you're one of the approximately 300,000 people living in rural Nevada, it's unavoidable. That's because a recently published report from the March of Dimes classified 8 Nevada counties as maternity care deserts, meaning they lack a hospital that provides labor and delivery services. And now that bleak picture is getting worse. Henderson Hospital announced recently its intention to close its maternity ward and neonatal intensive care unit by the end of September, converting those 62 beds into medical surgical space. That hospital was the closest option for expecting mothers living in Boulder City and parts of Henderson. And as a note, Henderson Hospital is a financial contributor to Nevada Public Radio. Its representative did not respond to KNPR's request for comment. Here to talk about how and why we're lagging in maternal care health options is March of Dimes Chief Medical and Health Officer, Michael Warren. Michael, welcome to State of Nevada.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
March of Dimes released its annual Nowhere to Go report in mid-August. It showed 8 Nevada counties, all in the middle part of the state, are considered maternity care deserts, meaning they lack labor and delivery units. First off, is it common to see large swaths of a state without access to maternity services?
Well, Paul, what we know is that across the country, 1/3 of counties are maternity care deserts, meaning they lack any obstetric clinicians like an OBGYN, a midwife, or a family physician who delivers babies. And they also lack a place to deliver that baby, like a hospital or a birthing center. So nationally, that number is about 34%. The number in Nevada is close to half of counties. And depending on the state you're in, there is a range. But certainly, it is alarming that that number is high in Nevada.
Around the same number of counties have 0 obstetric clinicians. Why might these types of specialists be choosing not to work in rural areas?
Well, there are a number of reasons why we see these patterns. In some places, there is a very low birth volume, meaning, you know, a fewer babies being born. And so from a business standpoint, maybe not enough to drive enough business to keep an obstetric clinician there. In some places, there may be concerns by clinicians about moving to rural areas, whether that's from a lifestyle standpoint, the ability to find jobs for their spouses or partners and so forth. And what we're seeing in some places is that finances are really driving these decisions, particularly where hospitals are shutting down labor and delivery services. Many of them report not being able to adequately finance those services. And if the hospitals are not going to provide those services, there's not somewhere for those obstetric clinicians to practice.
I want to play a clip from a press conference yesterday hosted by the Nevada Democrats. They organized their press conference criticizing President Trump and Governor Lombardo's health care policies. One speaker, Jody Dominic, is a local pediatric nurse. She talked about how difficult her long drive to see her children in the NICU was. Here's the clip.
That 30 minutes breaks your heart. That 30 minutes is 30 minutes I'm separated from my new baby. That 30 minutes is a delay in getting to them when they need you, when you need to be with your child at the most crucial of times.
The March of Dimes says people in maternity care deserts travel 3 times longer to access this type of care compared to people who live close to obstetric services. In Nevada, according to a July study by industry analyst Becker's Hospital Review, that median drive time is 56 minutes. What happens when maternity care is that hard to get to?
Well, when it comes to maternity care, we know that every minute matters. If you imagine a mom who is in labor, say her water is broken, she's contracting, she's trying to get to a place to deliver her baby, every minute matters, both for mom's health and that baby's health as it is being delivered, but also for obstetric emergencies. For example, if mom is hemorrhaging or mom is having chest pain or trouble breathing or a severe headache, all of which can be signs of obstetric emergencies, getting to care quickly can matter. And if that drive is close to an hour, that may be minutes lost in terms of being able to get the care that both mom and baby need. I think sometimes when we think about these maternity care deserts, we think, oh, this is just an inconvenience because people have to drive farther. The driving farther is a definite piece of this, but the reality is there are worse outcomes for people who live in these deserts. moms who live there, less likely to get all the prenatal care they need. They're more likely to give birth preterm to their babies. And in fact, that mom and her baby are more likely to die than those who live in a full access area. So this is not just an inconvenience. This truly can mean life or death.
At the time that your study was published, Nevada had experienced zero labor and delivery unit closures in the last 2 years, but that was just before Henderson Hospital's announcement. Does this mean maternity care in the state has been scarce for years, but not necessarily getting worse on a large scale?
Well, what we know is that this picture is dynamic. And when we look across the country over the last couple of years, nearly 100 labor and delivery units have closed across 35 states. And so what that means is for women and their families living in those states that constantly they've got to be recalibrating and thinking, where will I be able to get prenatal care and postpartum care, and where will I be able to deliver? We know that hospitals all across the country are facing challenges with their workforce, being able to recruit and retain obstetric clinicians, being able to adequately finance maternity care. And so the outlook at this moment is bleak, and we do worry that maternity care deserts are going to increase.
We have about 30 seconds left. What does Nevada need to do to improve care for people living here?
Well, the first thing we need to do is make sure that women know where to get care. And if hospitals are going to be closing, the clinical community, public health community need to come together to make sure women can know where to go for prenatal care, but importantly, when they're going to deliver and do that safely.
That's where we're going to have to leave it. Michael Warren is the chief medical officer for March of Dimes. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There are solutions on the horizon, however. To talk about a potential one, KNPR's Ann Davis spoke to Scott Barnett, an assistant professor at UNR whose research focuses on determining the causes and solutions to preterm labor, an outcome that can be particularly disastrous for people in maternity care deserts. Here's that conversation.
Scott, welcome to State of Nevada.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, you're currently developing new medications to prevent preterm labor, which work by relaxing the muscles of the uterus and preventing them from going into labor contractions. How is this potential intervention important in a state like Nevada that does have so many maternity care deserts?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the United States in 2024, there were almost 400,000 preterm births. So it's a really significant problem here. In Nevada, about 1 in 9 births are preterm. In 2024, we had 3,500 babies who were born preterm or very preterm in the state there. As a matter of fact, I've got twin preterm boys that were born a few years ago. So I've had some personal experience in understanding what it's actually like to feel that process there. So because so many babies are born preterm, our research in our laboratory is really to focus on trying to prevent babies from being preterm. And this is important because there are actually no FDA-approved drugs right now that can stop labor after it starts. So we have zero therapeutic options. If you go into the ER or the labor and delivery at 25 weeks, your baby has about a 60% chance of dying if it's born, and we don't have current drugs to treat that right there. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of other things we can do if we can get them there early. We can give them certain drugs to develop their lungs and to ensure that they have every opportunity they can to be as good as possible. But the reality is that we don't have drugs to stop the labor. And in our laboratory, we take a couple different approaches to this here. Right now, we're funded by the National Institutes of Health to develop a new class of drugs that will allow you to give a cocktail of two or more drugs that can stop the labor, but they also will not cross the placenta. The idea being that you can give a drug to the mother without the adverse effects of the baby being exposed to the drug as well.
Okay. And you said that this can be administered even after labor begins. So someone in rural Nevada goes to the hospital, they're in labor. You said that this drug could potentially be given to them then, and it could actually pause labor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in reality, we're trying to look at it from two different perspectives here. One is once labor's begun, developing a new tool that can halt labor so that you can carry the pregnancy to term. Of course, that's really important. The other aspect of what we're really trying to work on is what we call prophylaxis. And that's just a term that means that you give the drug before the onset of the disease, in this case, preterm labor. And if we can identify people who are in high-risk populations for preterm labor, then that means that they could have the drug at home, either be taking it in this prophylactic sense, or they can have it on available to them where if they go into labor, they can begin treatment, assuming it's approved by their obstetrician, and kind of mitigate the worst of the labor before they can reach the hospital there. So at the end of the day, it's really kind of a two-pronged approach there. And we're trying to identify these biomarkers that would really indicate someone's at a high risk of spontaneous preterm labor so that they can kind of be put into a group of people that might be able to receive that prophylactic drug.
How far along are you in sort of the developmental process? Is this still in the research process? Have you begun clinical trials? When do you expect this to sort of hit the market for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so as you can expect, basic research scientists is a long process here. It costs normally $2 to $4 billion to bring a drug to market for a whole host of reasons, but it's a slow, methodical process here. One of our approaches, which we're trying to do to help speed this, is we're also investigating the repurposing of existing FDA-approved drugs. As you can imagine, developing a drug to give to a mother who is pregnant has all this extra scrutiny, as it should, to ensure that you're not giving something that might harm the fetus there. So it really slows the process to developing these drugs. But we have identified other drugs that are FDA approved and well tolerated during pregnancies that might have these effects to help stop the contractions of the labor. So, you know, that's one arm of what we're doing there. And the reality is that if this continues to prove to be successful for us, it could be just a matter of a few years before this would be in some more substantive clinical trials there.
Scott Barnett is an assistant professor of biochemistry and molecular biology at UNR. Scott, thanks so much for joining me.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.